Lime, duh.
This whole thing?
Now I'm recording.
Well, only on my OBS, but...
Okay, I'm recording now.
Recording in progress.
Recording in progress.
Recording's in progress. So, Julie, you had an update?
Well, I mean, you guys are giving me...
We just jump right to it. It was a piece of news just shared with me while we were all there.
All derived from me hitting my bong with some nice hemp, getting called the crunchy person, and I revealed that I'm a crunchy person. I don't know what you said.
You moved to Austin and you became a man of the earth. He's a man of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
In all WWE merch manufactured in China. That feels like ancient history, right? China.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what, Tulo, you said you had a funny thing to tell us. So I'm putting you to the test. You want to open the pod with the funny thing?
The funny thing is, see, the thing is this. Remember the NXT sweater that I willingly gave?
Stupid.
So it always keeps going past the point I think it's going to stop.
Well, see, the thing is this.
All right, Tulo, what's the thing is this?
So I let a lady friend once willingly borrow an NXT sweater because...
Oh, good for you!
Not just because it was cold, but also because that I had to give a sweatshirt. And I was okay with giving it because NXT Black and Gold is dead. So it's just like, I don't even watch NXT anymore. And if it didn't come back, it's okay. But, you know, I did the right thing.
Yeah, we said that was like the Bronx Tale test.
For
Marks. Like,
well, let me tell you something.
If she opens the door, you know what I mean? Like, if you let her in the car first, and then she leans over and opens, that's a keeper. You know what I mean? That's a girl you keep.
Yeah. Wasn't there a song, Phil, from Autumn to Ashes song that started with that quote? I think was.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I said that. I have an experience with the sweatshirt that my lady friend is continuously brought back to me clean. I think that's a very good sign, right? Now, you hung out with this woman. People don't know. Tulo gave her the NXT sweatshirt. So, by the way, it's a ding on him because he didn't want to give her a Primo sweatshirt. He gave her a dying brand, okay?
Yeah.
So that's one thing to say. He gave her a dying brand sweatshirt. She's like, I'm cold. Well, I got to go home. Yeah. He gave her the dying brand. And then she came back and never mentioned it.
No.
Right? That's true. The next time you saw her, she didn't mention it.
Correct. And then I've never seen her again.
Wow.
Really? The
sweatshirt's gone. Yeah.
Oh my God. Can we get her information? Can I call her on the air?
Now, let me tell you something.
Would you mind if I called her on the air as your representative?
No, it's okay.
It's Dan Black Esquire. I'm coming here reclaim a piece of property for Nicholas Tulo.
As your
we'll get Letterman on it.
Tennis Court Boulevard.
Your advocate, Adam Letterman.
But
can we send Letterman? That's a great idea. Can we send Letterman after her to get the sweatshirt back?
Well, as I'm just happy, like, I didn't give it wasn't my cow title, hoodie.
Yeah,
you know?
Primo.
And we get Letterman. Yeah, NXT. All right.
So you had your update was that there's no update.
So that was the funny story. But no, you guys were asking, and I said I'm dating a younger woman now. And it's opened my eyes to things like Hempwick to light my bong. It's really nice, man.
A younger woman, an of-age woman. Just clarify that for the folks.
You see, I associate Hempwick with, like, older...
Yeah, 74-year-old.
Crunchy people, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can we see a picture, Tulo? Because she might
Let's not do that. Let's not dox this person.
No, I didn't mean that. But can we see? I meant an ID. You know, like,
oh, she's
like,
right. Oh yeah, just
she's
get her
like
ID.
I'm 23, and then she's 58.
Yeah.
You know, and she's like, you know, Betty Davis. You know, there's all these new performers out there or something. You know what I mean?
Betty Davis.
Like, it's nice.
Yeah, that was an old name. By the way, that's just an old name, right? You know, anything Betty is old, you know?
You remember? You know? You remember? You remember Tyrone Power?
And you're like, imagine Tulo came to us and he was like, you guys know, like, there's this new artist called Judy Garland that that all the kids are listening to. And I'm like, Tulo, I think you're dating an older woman, which is no problem.
No. I heard her track on TikTok. It's called Somewhere Over the Rainbow. It's a great song.
Yeah. And it's kind of like it's slower. It's definitely a slower vibe, you know, less EDM-y than I'm used to. But it's got a lot of heart. You know what I mean? It's got a lot of heart.
But getting into horn music recently, there's this new guy, Dizzy Gillespie. He dropped a track earlier this week.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You're like, yo, Miles Davis is this new guy. seeing him at the bowl with The Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
Oh yeah, Tulo's new girlfriend calls him The Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
The Google.
I just realized that like the Weeknd is spelled the way that someone from Long Island would say weekend.
The Weeknd. Yeah. How's your weekend?
Hey, what are you doing this weekend?
What are you doing this weekend?
Hey. Going to see The Weeknd this weekend.
I'm doing Angelina Jolie.
Oh, that's
Angelina Jolie sounds like a Long Island chick.
Yeah.
Hey, my girlfriend, Angelina Jolie.
It would just you be know? Ange.
I met her dad owns the car wash.
Ange. You know? Ange Jolie.
Wasn't The Weeknd dating Angelina Jolie from Franklin Court?
Mm-hmm. Is he?
They were. Yeah, I'm serious. That's a real thing.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Anyway, welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, everybody. This podcast is 72% about wrestling. Was that the number we said?
Yeah, 72. So.
28% about Long Island. and two of some dating
form,
life.
Some form of Levittown.
Some kind of Massapequa. That's the new Metallica documentary. Some kind of Massapequa. They all moved to Long Island. They're sharing a condo. And they're snowbirds. Everybody coming at you. I'll say this random thing about Metallica, though, because we're talking about age. I don't want anyone to think. I really hate ageism, actually. I'm very anti-ageism.
Thank you.
And when I saw Metallica rocking out like a couple years back, we talked about this. And they were like, I was like, these guys... They look older because they're just older guys, but they're still fucking doing it. It's so inspiring.
Yeah, ripping.
You know what I mean? It's so fucking cool that like they ain't slowing down for shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're rocking the fuck out in a style of music. It's not even in style. You know what I mean? Like they don't give a shit.
But what do you mean by that?
It's not hip pop like with the time. Like Metallica is arguably pop music in their day. You know what I mean? Just because it was popular by definition. Right. Would you agree with that? But now heavy metal is only popular in Newman's apartment.
That's not true at all. That couldn't be farther from the truth.
This looks great, by the way, Newman.
Thank you.
All right, fine. But we have to.
What evidence do you have that heavy metal is not popular?
I got evidence. You want to know what evidence I got?
I don't think you have evidence. Erase your mind. Yeah, you have a sound clip.
Wow, that was loud. Well, no, I'm sure there's listen, we live in the...
I'm sorry heavy metal isn't as contemporary as, like, OAR or whatever you listen to.
First
days.
Off, okay. I don't listen to OAR. I like a couple of their songs.
Yeah. But, you don't have to listen to them. You know their songs so well, you just play them in
your
head.
I'm saying that fucking Metallica ain't Jason Derulo or whatever. Okay?
Who the fuck is Jason Derulo?
You don't know Jason Derulo?
Jason Derulo.
He was in Cats.
He was in the Rumble.
He was in Cats. His career is over. Over.
Speaking of over, a lot of men went so over, good. And women went over June, the
July,
top rope last
July,
night.
July, August, September, October, November, Derulo.
Okay, that's Jason. Because why? Because he spells Jason.
Yep.
In there, I only know that because of Jason Shapiro, my friend, who would obviously point that out. Fun fact about Shebs, by the way, I was in his when I was in Hawaii. I was in his shower. All his hair products are the brand Jason.
Oh my god, that is so on game.
That is and the most Shebsian thing
that is
ever.
The most on game.
And he's like, I was like, why do you have that? He's like, oh well. I don't know, like, I need some stuff, and then like, there's a company called Jason, and I'm like,
and he only uses it for his body hair. Yeah, he just that's it. He has hair products, but for his body hair.
Let's talk about.
Wait, before we move on,
there was a lot of body hair shaved right before the Royal Rumble. All right, this is my segue into wrestling.
I just wanted, got an announcement.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to announce that I'm exclusively eating Newman's Own products.
Just dressing, like just, the BJ's just
dressing. Yeah. A lot of salad dressing, a lot of Fig Newton rip-offs.
You're just living on cookies and salad dressing and lemonade.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's going.
Newman's Own.
My health is not great.
All right, well, I'm eating just a strict diet of Dan noodles. You know, Dan?
Right, yeah.
And it's been rough. Right. Okay? It's been rough.
A lot of carbs.
No liquids.
Oh, you're just dry? Just straight up dry noodles?
Dry. I don't have a Newman's Own lemonade or an Arnold Palmer.
Okay? I mean, if you had that, would you use that in your noodles?
Yes.
Okay.
I would do a little noodle with a little lemonade, a little lemonade noodle hybrid. You know, it's called fusion, dude.
Who here just smoked a bong? Because it sounds like it might have been you.
Listen, speaking of smoke... The WrestleMania sign went on fire last
night. It did. And Brock went like this.
Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Support this podcast, daddies. We do bonus episodes every week. Bonus episode got fucked this week because I had two auditions I had to work on. And then the Rumble snuck up on Saturday. And it became like, why don't we just record once this Rumble happens? So, look, wrestling's moving at the speed of sound, baby. A great Coldplay song, folks. And the newest band, Coldplay, very popular in the metal metalheads industry space. And so I'll make that up to you guys. Also, patrons, I'm going to be doing my first guest episode. I'm going to be recording that this week. More info on that when that comes out. But the good thing is we got so much to fucking talk about here. Here's the Supermark Nick Tulo's Tulo here at Tiptoe with Tulo. Tulo in the house.
Hustle, loyalty, respect. Never give up.
Go fuck yourself. And right. We got the nasty one. He's a nasty, nasty boy. Nasty Newman Hagen.
How about it? Speaking of Newman Hagen.
Yeah.
Boogen Hagen. I think.
Has stroke.
They're rebranding him. As not like a heavy metal guy, but as like a strongman guy.
He came out, even Corey Graves last night when he entered in the Rumble was like, I didn't even know that's his music, you know, because he's used to him coming out with shit.
Was it Corey Graves or was it Pat McAfee?
Oh, he's Pat McAfee. Sorry.
Yeah. That fucking dude, his Pittsburgh accent is out of control. Yeah. Out of control.
He
Tobe Suicida.
Pat McAfee is very fun, I think, on the show.
Oh, yeah.
You're watching it, and he's up on the table, like, when he's at the announce booth. Like, it's a good
MVP.
Time. It adds to the energy. Yeah.
He's great.
He's doing a great job. Oh, I knocked my new camera, which is not... I don't have it bolted down yet. But...
Not to get off on a tangent, but his story? Like, he... And when he was a senior in high school, he borrowed $100 from a friend, turned it into $1,400 in an illegal poker game, then used that $1,400 to fund a trip to Miami to compete in a like combine for kickers, and then from that got a scholarship.
West Virginia.
That's cool.
Yeah.
West Virginia.
All right, so
we had the Royal Rumble last night.
Yeah.
Correct.
Here's Corey Graves. Correct. We had the Royal Rumble last night. I got a lot to say about the Royal Rumble, but I'm going to describe the whole experience for me from top to bottom before we get into just a macro feeling, which was I turned the thing on. I don't think it's any surprise that a lot of us have been neglecting WWE product lately, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that seems to be the sentiment. AEW is very exciting, and they have two shows, arguably Dark, blah, blah, blah. And the spirits and WWE have been down. So that's just, like, it was the Rumble. Let's put this in perspective for you. These are huge men. But 3 years ago, I had like 100 people in my house for the Royal Rumble. Okay?
Right. Right.
Now,
when Shinsuke won, right?
Yeah, that was, well, I was thinking that was 2018, so that's probably 4 Rumbles ago technically, but
yeah.
But we always go to some kind of event for the Royal Rumble. Then COVID happened, so shit got weird, you know.
Right.
But this Rumble was first off was on a Saturday, and people were texting me, like, are you doing anything? And the vibe was, like, people were not that stoked for this Rumble. You know what I mean? Like, no. That's not a surprise, but let's just acknowledge it, right?
Acknowledge me.
So, that being said, I did turn it on, and I looked at St. Louis, and I was like, holy shit, there's a fucking lot of people here, right? Yeah. It was kind of like, to my eyes, I was like, not used to seeing like 50,000 people at a WWE event. You know what I mean? And they were fucking pumped. It said 44,000.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, they did the numbers in the middle.
I thought the max capacity was 38.
No, it says 44. Yeah. Well, they got 1,000 people in the McMahon box, you know? You got to jam them in. Also, they probably just lie. But, right? But it was like 45,000 is what they said. So I was like, that's crazy. And then the move kicks off with Roman versus Seth. And I'm like, fuck, we were all texting each other. I was like, is WWE back? Like, holy shit. You know, Seth enters with the Shield gear, right?
Yeah.
And that was fucking just so fun, right? Yep.
McAfee made the second mention of Mox on WWE.
Right. Which is, that's the fun thing about McAfee. People strive, people who, what's the word I want? Not strive. What the fuck's the word? To survive? Succeed? People succeed. It's not even the word I want.
Thrive?
Thrive is the word I want. Jesus. Sunday morning records. People who thrive in WWE are people who don't care about losing the job.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think McAfee is one of those guys. Like, he might be upset by it, but it's not a deal breaker for him. It's not how he makes all his bread. You know what I mean? So he's allowed to mention Mox. You know what I mean? Right. Seth can say Mox. He ain't getting fired. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, all those guys could say it. So I was like, holy shit. And then the match started, and I was loving the match, right? And it was fucking dope.
Yeah, it was a cool match.
And the match, the booking was fine because it ended a little schmazzy, but you're like, oh, they're setting up for, like, cool. Like, they have some kind of plan here. You know what I mean? For the Rollins of it all, right? And then we're, like, bringing Rollins back in. So then I'm like, cool. Then they start the Women's Royal Rumble. And I'm like, cool. I we're going to get into all this, so I don't want to do it. But I'm like, I was so into that, too. Then the Lashley match, then the Lashley match happened. Then I was like out of the Becky. It started like getting low. And then I thought that the Men's Rumble really took me down, you know? Really took me. The end of the Men's Royal Rumble really reminded me why WWE has not been where it had to be, right, lately. Right. Like, why the WWE product has really been suffering. And I think that's probably where we should start the conversation, right, is at the end. So I'm just saying it was definitely like a dip for me is what I'm trying to say. I wasn't trying to, like, you know, but so we'll get into the micro of it. But, like, so I'm saying is that, like, I felt like after the – so then when Brock – that when the Men's Rumble started, considering Ronda came into the women's, I was like, they must have something cool here planned, right? Because wouldn't you kind of end on Ronda? But then I'm like, I don't know. Maybe Ronda's not as big of a star anymore, their thought. So I don't know. But the Men's Rumble, as it was going on, and I was hit number 30, it's clear to me that the WWE men's roster is just not where it needs to be at all. You know? I mean, and they painted themselves into this place. We're going into this Rumble. We were all like, who could win this thing? Who could win? And everybody I texted was like, maybe AJ. It was like every text was like, he was the only guy people could see like as a satisfying conclusion to this men's Royal Rumble, you know?
Right.
Because no other men's talent, you guys tell me, are in a place to even be built enough for it to be exciting to put them, to give them that big rub, like the Bianca Drew rub, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. They kind of had no choice but to go Brock, really. Like, they had no real choice. Like, they have not spent all year putting their talent in a place where they could win this Rumble, You know?
No, in fact, they've been spending all year putting their talent in a place that they can actually shine, which is AEW.
Why not? Why not? If you're going to do that, why not have Seth win?
Right.
I mean, he like lost his match by disqualification. Now he wins the Rumble and he gets that guaranteed main event. Like,
right.
Why not do Seth? Brock makes no sense. Brock makes no sense. He lost his match. Like,
right. So
it's just.
I thought it was cool that, like, even though Roman is so overutilized, I thought it was cool that Roman was kind of like the star of the Rumble in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like he like interrupted, you know, like the way he took out Seth was like the same way Seth took him out with the chair. You know what I mean? It was kind of like an homage to that. And then he interrupted the other match. And it's like, but like, at the same time, they're falling into these same traps, which is they've only made Roman and Brock look strong going into this Rumble. Even Lashley didn't look that strong with that win, you know? He'll be okay because he has the title. But what do you think they're going for? Let's just, before we even get into that, let's talk about the Brock win. This is one of the worst booked Rumbles ever, I think, for the men. Let's just talk about the men Rumble because, boy, oh boy, the second Brock entered, you're like, all right, Brock's winning. There wasn't even a single person in that ring who had a shot, you know? No.
If you see a poster, a picture, anything, and it's Brock Lesnar and another wrestler, and there's a belt on the line or something on the line, bet on Brock.
Right. I say it all the time, and it's so true.
Always. Newman.
Right.
It's so true.
Who was in there? The only guy in there was, I guess, like, we know Randy's not going to win the Rumble. Like, it's not Randy's. Randy's won, like, three times already, but also it's just not really, like, a year for Randy. He's not positioned that way.
Right.
And the crowd would turn on him. It wouldn't be good for him, you know? Although he was in St. Louis, so that's the only argument for it. But so he might get heat that night, but that's it. Drew is not positioned at all. He's literally feuding with the Happy Corbin. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he couldn't be in a worse place to be back in that spot. It was cool for him to face off with Brock, but boy, oh boy, it just reminded you how far away they are from that.
Yep.
So Brock won. And if you're going to have Brock win that way and you were trying to tell that story, you needed to show that Brock, like, beat the shit out of somebody for that 30 spot, no?
Right. Yeah, justify.
Why would Brock be in the Rumble as the champion earlier that night and then be able to enter at 30?
Like, the decision was just made.
Right.
They still hadn't filled the 30 spot.
So this is, like, the problem with WWE. It's like, so in kayfabe, it used to be they would literally have, like, you'd pick your number, your entrance number, right? So we would be like, oh, it's kind of like a lottery. Or you have to, like, some guys declare that they're going to enter, right? Now, you could say I'm overthinking it, but I'm really not. Like, in the base reality of this Rumble program that we watched, Brock came in as the champion, and it's understood that if you're the champ, like, you don't necessarily go into the Rumble. And if you do, has that happened? I mean, I'm sure it has happened. But to be conveniently in the 30 spot is weird. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like when Triple H enters at 30, which he did like a couple years back, that is understood that he also runs the company. So it works. You know what I mean? So that's that. Brock is like a babyface right now. So why wouldn't you just have the simple thing of like it's Sami Zayn? Literally just he takes Brock, Brock runs out because he's so pissed about what happened to him earlier.
Right.
And then he throws Zayn into the crowd and takes his spot. Even that, I would be totally fine with that.
Isn't that Becky did that? Nia Jax did that.
Becky did it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Becky got
Lana's was like hurt. Lana's like toe was hurt or something, right? And then Becky stole her spot because she lost the title to Asuka. Or did she lose the title to Asuka?
Sasha.
I think she wrestled Asuka at that Rumble.
Oh,
I think
was it Asuka?
I think I was there. Yeah, I think I was there because that's when Becky won and Phoenix. Seth both won the Rumble in 2019. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I think I was there. So to say, is I remember it being Asuka. And so, but maybe you might be right, but I'm pretty sure it was Asuka. I think that was when Sasha was not even around. I think she was like off. Remember when she was like not wrestling? So I'm saying is that like with Brock, you have to see him be, like, so pissed. He got so shafted. But he kind of came out, like, all smiley, like, I'm entering the Rumble.
Right.
You know? But that being said, who cares? Like, Brock's a big star. So let's talk about where they're going with it. Do you think they're going with? So did anyone like that Royal Rumble?
No, I don't. I don't have a feeling about
the
it.
The Men's Rumble.
I didn't. Well, here's the thing. Maybe I could talk about my macro experience. Was yeah. I didn't even watch it.
Yeah.
And for me, the number one event for me.
Yo, Dana's always, bad ass, man.
Correct. Facts. Speaking of that,
she is not.
She's definitely badass, man. No. She's like super badass now.
I mean, she's bad ass. I'll give you that.
She has a bad ass. Is that what you're saying?
No, she is. Her wrestling is bad.
Newman, that's fucked up.
Her wrestling is bad ass.
It is.
Yeah.
Then we
come ask something. You want to ask something?
So I didn't watch. So right, and this is what I've been saying for a Tula, while.
Wait, Christina that, wants to ask a question.
No, I want to hear Tulo's story first.
She watched the Royal Rumble.
But Tulo was talking though. So let's finish Tulo's thing.
Okay, hold on. She's not gonna be able to
let's
hear.
Let's go, Christina. Go.
Ask the question.
Okay, so this is my question because I'm over listening. I'm listening in the kitchen, and my question is, Dan, you said that. The man.
Question for Dan.
The men's Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Was the main event because something special was going to be bigger than what the women's
was.
Yeah,
that's what I said.
But then I felt like the women's Royal Rumble was way better than the man's. So right. Why do you think the man's was the main event? Like, why? What? Why do you think? Well, they
was why do you think?
There's my question.
Why do you think?
They can't hear you.
The reason. Yeah, but
they
the
can't
reason
hear
you.
Me.
The reason you think it is the reason.
Yes. What? So because they were trying
and
to tell that Brock story, which is
you.
Also a great question because then Brock
no, but,
needed
no, but
to,
the answer,
Brock
the answer
needed to
the,
make that a big spectacle moment as opposed to like he's just entering at 30.
No, but the reason.
If Brock was, this is a random thing, if Brock was, sorry, I'm like caffeinated, sorry. But if Brock was Seth, you'd be like, oh, Seth the whole time knew he was coming in at 30, so he planned for it. But that's not Brock's style, right?
Right. Anyway. No, look. The reason that the men's rumble was the main event over the women's rumble is the reason you think it was. It's men first.
Yeah, but Dan told me that sometimes the women have the main event in some years.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because that was awesome when Ronda Rousey came out, and then I mean the women's was just like fucking awesome, like Charlotte Flair. I mean, I thought that was so cool, but the guys was kind of like.
The Women's Rumble, I thought, was stronger. I definitely did.
Oh, wait. You know what? Maybe because they had famous people.
Yes, they did. All right, Christina. Anything else? I got to get back to Tulo's point.
All right, goodbye.
Thank you. Good point. So,
what did I say?
No, you were saying you're not interested about watching it. Okay?
So I didn't watch, and because I had work. But like usually I'd be like, if I had to miss that, I'd be like, God, this is the fucking worst thing ever. Like it would eat me up inside that I was missing the Royal Rumble. I mean, I willingly gave up the Royal Rumble pool, like, but every year up to that point, I was always so excited. I would,
yeah.
We got 120 people in the Royal Rumble pool last year because I was just so hyped to do
Rumble.
It. And now they've gotten to this point where, and it was easy for me. It's like, I didn't have to watch. Like, I just see the reactions of what's going live. I don't care about getting spoiled. So I see people saying, Ronda Rousey's back. I see people saying Brock, you know, things are instantly up.
Well,
I
totally agree. I really feel for, yeah.
I consume what I want to go back and consume. I watched like the whole entire Seth entrance, spectacular, but that's not going to get me to tune in because it's not like even like you're talking about and you're like, what do you think they're going to do? Who cares? There's no reason to think they're going to do anything that makes any kind of sense because that's not what they're in the business of anymore. And this is not me saying WWE shit. This is me accepting the product for what it is now. And I don't have to consume it the way I used to.
Right.
And it's not the kind of thing that I want to. I have a completely other form of wrestling that I don't want to get spoiled on. And if I do, I get really bummed now. You know?
Right.
Like, so that's how WWE used to make me feel. But I don't give a fuck like at all anymore. Like, I'll go to WrestleMania, and I probably won't go to WrestleMania this year. I'll go to everything else that's going on around it, like 1,000%.
Well, the wrestling economy is strong. That's the weird thing. The wrestling economy is strong while WWE's is stock is down, but somehow they kind of also rise because of the economy being strong, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, but like it's like if on one hand you have like Breaking Bad, and then the other hand, you have like Teletubbies, and you're like, well, what do you think? What's Teletubbies going for? It's like they fucking to make babies laugh. Like that's it. Like listen, that's fine. It serves the market, and it's not bad for what it is.
They're going into Dallas, okay, into a 100,000 seat arena where they've broken records, okay, at a time where not their greatest product. Right. Not a lot of exciting things. They can be. I mean, like 100,000.
That's a lot of tickets to sell. That's a good point.
100,000 people probably end up showing up because they'll give them whatever it takes.
They'll give them
away, and they'll give whatever, you know. But like, there's a lot of pressure when that opens up for sale and what those numbers are going to be because those are kind of things. WrestleMania sell out all the time.
I don't think they're going to be selling out. I think it's a fucking great point. It's like 100,000 where you start looking at the numbers and you start going like, wow, that's a lot. That being said, it is Dallas. A lot of marks over there. It's definitely a marquee town.
Also,
they're talking about having Stone Cold do probably be a referee or something in a match. People will pop, like knowing Stone Cold's showing up. Yeah. I think what's really interesting about WWE product, though, there's so many places to go. There was two things I noticed about the Rumble last night. There was no men nostalgia acts in that Rumble. Okay? Take that as you will, right? There's no Kane, you know? Mm-hmm. And those guys are starting to, there's two things. They're just aging out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot of new talents. And this is what we've always kind of like this is a Rumble full of talent. But all these talents are stifled creatively to such a degree. Plus, man, all I kept thinking about is like Ricochet was the one who made me think, you know, for some reason, you know. I mean, I guess not for some reason because he was such a non-factor in this Rumble. You know what I mean? And he's Ricochet, you know. And I think about Ricochet's brand like 5 years ago and you're like WWE has no ability to make the Rumble. If you just saw it as like an employee thing. There's like no, they don't have it to be a place where like their employees see this as like a real night where they could like potentially do it, you know?
Right.
They're so far removed from this being like a big opportunity for these guys. Like I bet most talents think see the Rumble and they're like, because they probably don't even know the booking until they get in the building, but they're not like maybe I'll get chosen, you know?
Just one thing to say, like the 100,000 mark is even the 100,000 mark is even more staggering when you consider that 100,000 is probably 5 to 10% of the total wrestling fandom in the country. Because we're talking about a million, million and a half, 2 million people, right? Like it's a large chunk of everybody in the country that watches wrestling. So to pull that many people now is especially staggering.
What they have at their advantage is that weekend's probably going to be hot, like with a lot of other crazy shows. You know, GCW is going to turn up. Effie does his big gay brunch that weekend. Like, they can pull numbers. That will attract people come because there's going to be so many dope shows, death matches, fucking all women's cards, like so much sick shit. And now I think this is the most exciting time ever to be there. Like, I'm so happy it's in Dallas. I could just drive there, you know, like. Right. It's so sick to have that option, and I'm literally going for that weekend for that. And if I get free tickets to WrestleMania, I'll go and maybe go for a little bit and leave so I can go to all the other shit that's going on, you know. But I think it's just a different time. And honestly, it's not even me knocking on it, but like you see who wins the Rumble, right? Like Ronda and Brock.
They're just two big names, you know.
They're just doing nothing to invest or make you believe like – they care about what they're doing. You know, they just know that will get pops. And honestly, there weren't a lot of pops last night. I was rewatching on people's like camera footage when like Bad Bunny came out. I'm like, does anybody give a fuck about Bad Bunny? What's going on? This is fucking cool.
Here's the interesting thing about in wrestling that it's really interesting. It's wrestling has a weird way of. Because wrestling is all about like excitement, right? Like capturing initial excitement. it punishes you for coming back the second time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, right. So like even like you look at like Shane now, it's like Shane's like, all right, it's Shane, right? Right. And you look at even Ronda coming back for her second time right now, like that's not, does not feel the same. Now, I pop for Ronda personally. I love Ronda. Okay. I think Ronda's a great addition to the women's division. This is definitely, if she's going to go on a run right now, which I just think she's just going to wrestle through Mania and then be done. You know what I mean? Is my prediction for her. Is that? I don't even know if that's reported. Do you guys just agree with, do you agree with me?
That sounds about right.
I don't think she's here to like be a professional wrestler for full time.
Maybe
you know?
To SummerSlam. I don't know. Wins at Mania, loses at SummerSlam.
She's gonna,
kind of deal.
She's going to be on a Brock schedule for the next couple of years, is what I'm predicting. Right? You know what
Come
I mean?
I don't know. Brock's around a lot.
Yeah, to be honest, Brock is not a good example. Brock's becoming pretty full time, and that's the other weird thing is that Brock is like, I have this love hate with Brock. It's like not that I don't like Brock winning the Rumble. You know,
yeah.
He's just an irrelevant winner to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it's like
it's a
placeholder. Yeah,
yeah, it's like
although
you
him
put Brock in a main event without winning the Rumble. You know,
him catching Riddle midair and throwing him out was fucking awesome.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. Brock should also Brock would be more exciting to win the Chamber too.
Right,
seeing Brock in a Chamber feels more fun than him winning a Rumble.
Listen, it's good. Oh, Saudi Arabia, yeah, he'll probably win the Chamber too. I mean, like, even though it doesn't matter, yeah.
I had the thought too, like, a real disadvantage that WWE has right now is like a major component of the Rumble is the surprise entrance. Who in wrestling that's not in AEW right now,
right,
would be exciting to see come through the, you know, the curtain at WWE? And I don't mean that like fantasy booking wise. I mean, like, realistically, like, who could be?
No, they don't have it. Like, that's
there's nobody.
They don't really have it. Like, and I was sitting there thinking about it. I was like, who would really like, I'm like, I think like Batista maybe was like the guys I was thinking about. Like, he's retired, but I was like, I was trying to think of people, you know, and it was like maybe Hunter, but he's not healthy. Like,
no,
You know what I mean? They're really, you know, Cena was someone who could, you know,
right, sure,
do this, that. But the other point I was going to make is like, they didn't even have Miz, Edge, Lashley, Rollins. They didn't even have all the guys who had matches who were big stars. They're big stars enough to have singles matches at the Rumble.
Right.
None of them were even in the Rumble. You know what I mean? Right. Like, they were really, you know, like, it was, they didn't even make it exciting at all in that capacity, you know?
Right.
So, it wasn't confusing. I told you guys to expect a not exciting winners. But Ronda, we'll see. The cool thing about Ronda is Ronda always kind of like, she takes it real seriously. So, I'm expecting her to have some matches where you're like, oh, fuck, that was good. And you'll have fun with it, you know?
Right.
And she seems to be in good shape. She looked really good, you know?
Well, here's the perfect example. You said you talked to everybody and everybody said AJ, and he got thrown out by Mad Cat Boss Moss,
that
whatever
actually,
the fuck his
like,
name
kind
is.
Of shocked, so, me. Shocked me.
Basically, eat my ass, you know? Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, you know, that's it.
Eat my ass, Timberly!
That's a perfect example. Like, it's just that. It's right there, plain as day. Like, you don't care about your fans. Like, if you were expecting AJ Styles to win and he gets thrown out by that fucking schlep of a fucking human being, like, you're just like, what? Why do I even care anymore? Why?
I agree. And that brings us to really the next thing, which is like, what is the Rumble plan? Now, let's talk about one kind of positive thing I'll say. They have success. And I said this the other day. They have kind of successfully made me buy into Bobby Lashley as a main event talent.
Agreed.
Right? Like, part of that comes from the back is just like when you look at him, you're like, all right, this guy looks big time. They upped his clothing game, you know. They gave him MVP. They're putting him in the realm of being able to stand toe-to-toe with Brock. And it's a match that we were kind of like pumped about years ago that never happened. And then they played on that. So they did a nice job with Lashley. And they threw the title back on Lashley. Like, Lashley is officially one of the top main event heavyweights, right? Like, he's officially a heavyweight caliber guy in WWE, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's interesting how they approached it, where they're like, we have Roman, Brock, we still want to run that into the ground. Why don't we introduce the element of Lashley on their level, you know?
Right.
And so I'm like, that's kind of cool to me. Whether you're not, like, I always thought Bobby Lashley sucked, and this is definitely the most I've liked him ever, you know? So that's a success for them. Do you think they go for the triple threat at Mania?
Yeah, to unify? Probably. Or to unify? Oh, yeah, actually, I don't know that wrinkle.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I mean, that's probably the best bet.
I think Roman, Brock, Lashley, and then they'll turn it into one title, right?
Yeah, or somehow Seth wins. Well, the Chamber. Yeah, but the Chamber gets you into the fucking match at Mania. You get a title match at Mania, don't you, if you win the Chamber? Am I wrong on that? Is that how the Chamber works?
I actually don't know. The Chamber used to be for the title, right? The champion was in there. I think it changes every time. It's not always. It's like sometimes a number one contender. It is. If it is a number one contender match, if there's no champion in it. But a lot of times the champion is in the match, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's possible they put Lashley in there and have Lashley just win the Chamber. And then
also, it's Saudi Arabia, right? So fucking the WrestleMania Chamber now is, you don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
Yeah, they might just put those champions in the Chamber and then have them both retain, and then it's kind of a nothing, right?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Damn, that's the other thing, too. It's like, who fucking cares?
Like, they haven't done also
anything
say,
to earn, like, giving a shit.
I'm not,
I literally have nothing to say.
Convinced. I'm not entirely convinced they're going with that triple threat. I think there's a decent chance Goldberg comes back for a Lashley match again, something like that. You know 100%.
Let me tell you something. What would make you want to tune into Raw tonight after that?
Well, I want to turn on Raw because I want to see Ronda.
Ronda?
You know? Like, I right. I guess I'm still interested in Ronda. It's definitely not like before.
I mean, but Ronda Becky could be is the only thing that can knock Becky out of her funk, I feel like, right now. But they're obviously going to just run back that triple threat, right?
Do you think that looks like Charlotte? It seems like Charlotte. They're clearly going for a Charlotte thing, right? So they might just go Charlotte Ronda straight up?
Yeah, and it's going to be all three of them.
Again, these are all the same matches. That was at that Survivor Series in the
and
Staples
here's
Center,
the thing.
Right?
Ronda's probably going to come out and say, I want to challenge them both. I was never pinned at the last WrestleMania. The story's right there. You say, I want to run it back. And they'll handcuff the women's division till fucking April and not be able to book anything because all their champions are going to be tied up in this match.
Yeah.
This is exactly how it's going to go. You know it. They'll throw a bunch of hodgepodge tag teams together just to make the tag team titles relevant because that's all they're going to have to tell.
Right.
And that's it, baby.
Okay.
WWE.
Now, that being said, fine. It seems like they are positioning Seth to have some kind of cool position. I don't know what they're going to do with Seth. I hope they just don't throw. Maybe they. Wait. Maybe
throw
they just
the
throw
match.
Seth into the. They'll probably go. Oh, that's probably what. Probably the plan is this.
Fight-tail four-way.
Fight. Oops. I think they have some kind of. My guess is Lashley match. They're going to have some kind of Goldbergian thing. You know?
A Rube Goldbergian device.
And I think they might go Brock, Seth, Roman and like build that as the WrestleMania 31 also, match again, right?
Sure.
And then probably have Seth go over, you know, at Mania.
Let's see how it plays out.
Because they gave Seth a big baby. He had a big baby turn last night. Like he got his ass beat by the biggest heel and he got Shield pop, right?
Right.
So that's probably my guess. Gun to the head, I think they go Seth, Brock, Roman is what I think they go for. And then I think Lashley, they're setting up to have just like maybe a Drew rematch or some shit. Something.
Yeah. You know what I say? Gun to the head, pull the fucking trigger.
What?
Pull the trigger.
Triple threat?
You want to
fight
no.
four way?
If you're making me decide between these things, and you have a gun to my head, I'm telling you to pull the trigger.
Oh, yeah. You want to just be dead?
Just
pull
it.
So look, the Royal Rumble. Because let's just fix. Because I want to switch over to. I want to go back. I want to go to AEW for a second.
Yeah, I'm dying.
I want to go to AEW. I want to jump over to AEW. The Rumble. It's like, yo, the Rumble still a really fun event. Like I still have fun with the Johnny Knoxville stupidity. Like I still. I won.
Apparently, Ronda Rousey.
And Rousey is. It is fun. Look, if they don't see that they got a problem there, which is that like none of their talent matter at all, like. It's like just the guys you can predict are going to win, then whatever. That's what they're going to do. Luckily, we have AEW where we get a match, which we haven't had to talk about on the podcast yet, like the opening of Dynamite last week, which is like Cody, Sammy Guevara, where they just like absolutely tear the fucking house down, you know?
Before we move on, Dan, I have something to report.
Oh, my God. But oh, my. Is that Alex Jones?
It's Alex Jones. I got something to report.
Oh, my God. This is we're just about to start having fun talking about it. Are you sure? Are you sure you want to be here right now?
I got to make this point quick.
All
right.
Alex Jones, everybody. He's here.
This is of the utmost importance. Okay. Look. Oscar New, baby. I can't resist.
Oh, my God. Alex Jones. All right, Alex, what's up, dude?
Sammy Guevara.
There's something you have to understand about the Women's Rumble last night, Dan.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay, what is it?
That wasn't Dana Brooke. They replaced Dana Brooke with a clone.
Yo, Dana's badass, man.
Wait, Dana Brooke? That looks like Dana Brooke to me, no?
No, look. Dana Brooke is my favorite wrestler. Okay? I know what she looks like.
Wait, you and Tulo have that in common.
That is a different woman. That is not Dana Brooke.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I'll be honest. Phil brought a picture up. She definitely looks a little different than I...
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Confirmed. Switched out by the Illuminati.
Don't you think maybe she just got a little bit of work done or something?
I think she's getting work done to her now in some cryogenic tube.
Oh, my God. So what? Who sent her to Dana Brooke? They sent her to lose the Royal Rumble? What was the theory?
She's an agent of chaos. She's there to sow the seeds. Look, she's there as predictive programming, Dan. Look, I've read the newspapers. I've read the reports. I've talked to all the high-level officials. Okay, yeah, she's there as predictive programming. You're going to replace everybody with clones. All right? And then she's there to get us used to the idea that we're just replaceable. Right? And they can just find someone who looks kind of like us. And then... They put us out, and then we're all just turned into batteries for the New World Order.
Oh, so it's like The Matrix. You see, like The Matrix?
Yes, that documentary, The Matrix.
Okay. Well, look, I think I have no comment on the looks of Dana Brooke, okay? I would like to just think that I think maybe she just looked, maybe it was the makeup, whatever. I think it was her.
I'm not commenting on the looks of Dana Brooke either. I'm just saying that this woman looks like Dana Brooke.
All right, so what was the actual, if she's an agent of chaos, how did she wreak havoc on the Women's Royal Rumble? Who is supposed to win?
No, you have to understand this is about ceremony. This is about arrogance flying it in our face that they can make clones that look kind of like us, and then you know, they're going to replace us one day. This is hubris on the part of the Illuminati.
You're saying they're not even trying to make us look like we're supposed to look. They don't even care about that accuracy anymore because they know that society is so torn and so divided right now that enough people will be adversarial against each other to the point where it doesn't matter if it's even rings true.
You're making a lot of sense right now, Dan.
Am I making sense? I don't feel like I'm making sense. But that's all I'm saying. It's a fair point. Anything going on in AEW that we didn't notice?
I don't watch AEW.
Oh, okay. All right.
Strictly WWE guy.
All right. I thought maybe you can maybe decode some of what Malakai Black is up to with the Pac thing, but the stuff that actually feels like there is some kind of a subliminal messages there, but instead you think Dana Brooke was replaced by a government agent of chaos.
Yes.
And they didn't even bother making her look like the Dana Brooke that we're supposed to know.
Right.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, that's just your opinion, man.
As long as I plant the seed, I've done my job.
Okay. Well, I say,
oh, you didn't know?
Yeah, well, and I didn't know. I have a question similar vein, but let's switch over to the men for a second, which is like, is that badass Billy Gunn still? Is that actually Billy Gunn? I mean, he looks huge, bro. He's 58 years old. Look at you. What are you, 52? You look like a pile of trash.
I'm 39 years old.
No way.
Look. Billy Gunn, let me answer your question with another question. When's the last time you saw the comedian Ron White?
Like in 2005.
Yeah, exactly. Because in 2006, he was kidnapped and he was subject to steroid testing, much like the Weapon X program in the X-Men. Okay.
Okay.
And they transformed him into the behemoth that you see as Billy Gunn right now. The badass Billy Gunn.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. I saw a little bit. I saw some adamantium.
Yep. They put him in, like, they gave him, like, the juice. Not to mix universes here, but they gave him the juice like Bane gets. And he got all big.
Well, the multiverse is hot right now. Let me ask you something. I have a question. This is a random question. How come whenever somebody's getting work done, cryogenically, when they're getting work done in any kind of sci-fi show or anything, they gotta be in water. Why are they always in water? Why do you always gotta be laying in water with a breathing tube? Is that just because it looks cool? Or is
there Look, it's all predictive programming. It's all to get us used to the technology that the Illuminati already has. So they have vats of stem cells that they soak in, and it heals their wounds, and it reverses the aging process while we're all here left to live in a heap of death and destruction.
I'm just saying that in every single piece of Disney Marvel's property.
Yep. Okay. Illuminati. So,
right. Boba all Fett. Those properties. Boba Fett, exactly. And if I think about it, when you're getting.
They have back to tanks. I'm telling you, they have back to tanks.
But I've never seen a doctor ever immerse a full body in liquid with a breathing apparatus.
Because you don't have access.
Any kind of modern medicine ever.
You don't have access to that level of technology, Dan. You're quite simply not famous enough.
But it's just always clear water. I mean, it's just clear water. All right, whatever. Maybe I'm just naive.
I'll tell you what, if I handed you two glasses, one was filled with water, one was filled with stem cells, you wouldn't know the fucking difference, brother.
Okay. Well, do you have glasses of stem cell water? Is that what you're drinking right now?
I know a guy who can get stem cell water. Yeah.
All right. Well, Alex Newman Jones. I guess we'll keep a close eye on Dana Brooke, right, and see what kind of. If she's maybe up to no good.
I heard she looked taller. Is that like a fact?
Taller. Yeah. Like she was. She is. This other person is taller and vaguely resembles her, but it's not her.
All right, Alex Jones, you gotta go.
I gotta go.
Just hang in the corner.
All right.
Dude, do you have locks?
No.
Yeah, bro. I mean, they just take it over your feet. Sammy. Well, Dana Brooke definitely.
Badass, man.
Definitely look different. Okay, bad. You know, it is what it is.
Bad
Osman. I'll say this. Sammy Guevara versus Cody as a way to open up AEW. One thing I thought was fascinating is they both started in the ring on Dynamite. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, it just, like, that. There was something so fun about.
Big fight. Big fight.
Right? Like. They were both.
Right,
like,
in the action. Let's go.
When I turned on Dynamite, Cody was just like on the turnbuckle hyping the crowd up, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, there's something cool in AEW where there is story going on, but it's less about that. It's more about just like, let's do it, baby. Let's have a show, you know? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
everyone's like,
let's have a show. And even I think they shook hands.
Yeah.
Did they not shake hands, Cody and Sammy? And that was interesting because they've been building them. Kind of, it's like, baby, they kind of just tossed it to be like, let's just fucking have a dope match. I don't know, something really.
That's kind of, right? I would say, in the whatever scope of it all.
Yeah.
Interim title matches, technically two champions fighting each other.
Right.
So there is always kind of that mutual respect in that terms of the sport aspect of it, which AEW loves to fucking like play to.
Right.
So in my opinion. Yeah, that's what it was. It was just like, oh, this is two guys.
It was badass, mom.
Both champions. And you can say it's badass.
Yo, Dana's badass, man.
That's a good point. It is like champion versus champion had that. I also, yes, I mean, this match was, I mean.
That cutter that off of cutter the ladder was
one
cutter,
of my highlights.
Superplex.
So I think the cutter specifically is like
he does the crossroads too off the fucking ladder. That's fucking insane, man.
The crossroads off the ladder, sick. I just want to talk about the cutter for a quick second, though.
Yeah.
And like, because the cutter, the reason that cutter is so dope to me is like, first off, we all just love RKOs. We love cutters,
right?
Like, you know, stunners, like a cutter variant, whatever. So we just love it. Like the Dudley Death Device, the Triple D, you know,
Deadly Death Drop.
That, like, that was a cutter. It was one of my favorite moves growing up. Like, I've always just loved the cutter. But I always loved Tommy Dreamer gave that cutter in the ECW opening off of the two ladders.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
and it was like mid ladder.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this Sammy Cody Cutter has really upped the game on Cutter footage. Like
ladder,
that
yeah.
has to be, if you're doing a Cutter montage,
yeah,
it has to be in there. And you it's just probably downloaded, the most impressive.
You just downloaded Headstrong by Trapped, yeah. and you're going to put it to a Cutter compilation.
Right.
You better put the Sammy Cody Cutter.
You can't, like, you can't talk about Cutters without that Cutter. So I'm saying is that I think they, right? Like,
yeah.
So it's like
yeah.
all the other spots, it's like, because like the other spots were dope in there, like the, you know,
the Swanton.
The Swanton was dope, but like that, Jeff's done similar shit. Like at 33, he did a Swanton off a 19-foot ladder. It doesn't take anything away from it. The way Sammy fell was, that was the most worst looking Cutter fall, Swanton fall, the most dangerous looking impact yeah. I've seen, you know? But the Cutter was like groundbreaking Cutter territory. Like,
yeah.
it was like when was someone does executed. Like the 900 and then they do like the 1080 or whatever. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Like he like set the new world record for Cutter, you know? Yeah.
Well, because it was their positioning was so perfect. Like it wasn't like messy and like they landed perfect and it was just like the yeah, height Cody, from which it was.
I watched it on repeat.
Yeah.
Cody. Lands perfectly flat.
Yeah.
Like perfectly. He's got his spot. Because the thing with the Cutter is that it's cinema in a way.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
The impact of it is almost stupid. Right?
Right.
Like, but it's like you want to just believe that this is how this impact happens. Right?
Right.
Like, whatever. So, like, for example, Doudrop versus Becky, she was trying to do that rock bottom thing off of the top rope and it, like, it didn't look like that should be the end of the match, you know?
Yeah.
If you fall right sometimes and everything, all the elements hit, it's like, yeah. wow, that was a finish. And this moment had like it looked cinematic. Cody slams on the mat, lands perfectly flat, and flips over onto his back from the impact, like perfectly, you know? Yeah. Without it looking like he pushes up or does anything, you know? And Sammy catches his neck. Like a perfect catch, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's so much that could go wrong in that. Perfectly palms it. They both fall together in unison, and they both land at the same exact time flat. It's perfect execution. It's weird because you think that the Swanton is like the more dangerous, like the crazier spot, right. but there's that one is them working together. It's just so much. It's weirdly. Well, so much more
imagine,
impressive.
Even on a canvas ring, imagine yeah. climbing to the top of a ladder
right.
and then jumping out and just fucking splashing on your face.
How does the thing I never get is how the ladder is like, you've been on a ladder before, right?
Yeah, like how no, do you kick off? Of
like, how do they not just stay? Like, how do they stay? Like, that's why a lot of times the guys at the bottom are holding the ladder.
Shout out to the refs holding the ladders. I mean, that Aubrey and the other ref were both holding the ladder.
Were they? I didn't even think about that till we just talked
because.
Right here.
They did a
you
really
can't jump like that.
They showed him like holding on to it like initially, but then they panned up just enough to get him out of the shot, you know? But yeah. if you go back and look, you'll see them holding the ladders. Aubrey was holding Sammy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They got to. That makes so much sense.
Because they kind of only have to hold it for like a second.
Yeah.
Just like hand on it, boom, and then yeah. like you're walking yeah. away.
But that Cutter was just like, oh my God. Also, the positioning of the ladders is so fun. Like Sammy jumps from like kind of like near the turnbuckle.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And Cody is just in the classic win the belt spot.
I guess that's probably integral to the to it being successful, right? Because like Sammy has to jump,
yeah, the angle
out this way,
yeah,
to get his neck, which is yeah, it wouldn't have worked the same way if they had to both jump out the same.
It was absolutely sick, you know.
Yeah,
and it's crazy that match, that spot. Let's just say that spot for me. Stole the week over the entire Royal Rumble event.
Yeah, true.
You know?
True.
But, you know, that being said, it's like, you know, I'm thinking about Roman. Like, it was interesting because I'm saying, like, was watching, like, with Christina, it is interesting because, you're, you know, she's not a huge mark. She likes wrestling a lot. But, like, you're watching right. with someone who's watching a Rumble, right? You see, like, her question is, like, a little, like, for us, we're such marks. You're like, okay, you know, you know what I mean. You're like, you get it, but you don't get it, you know. Right. But there's always value in that. It's like, when she watched Roman enter in the beginning, you know?
Right.
You see the reaction to Roman, which is like, whoa, look at this guy, you know? And that is awesome to see. It's like, it reminds me of my mom walked by, the screen one time, saw Roman and was like, who's this fucking guy, you know? But then when Seth entered,
Cherry,
doing the Shield entrance, she was like, oh, like, this is fucking awesome, you know?
Right.
And so there that's why I was like so excited about the event last night, because you're like, maybe WWE Dennis just so quickly fell apart. I don't really know what to do with I don't know what you do with WWE right now. Like, you let they let so much talent go to AEW, you know?
Right.
Like, all the guys, you said it, Newman. I mean, it's just worth talking about. They let so many of the guys who we would like Aleister Black, right?
Right.
So many guys who would have been really fun Rumble winners. They got two nights of Mania. You still can have Brock Roman for the title. Like, right. It doesn't even take away from anything. You know?
Right.
So why not have the Rumble? Why not pivot the Rumble into being truly known as, like, maybe even big talent doesn't enter it, but you rebrand it being like a new star will be born or something.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe you don't say that directly. No.
It's not what it's about anymore, though. It doesn't matter, dude. Everything they do is not, you have to rebrand the whole entire thing.
Yeah.
It can't just be the Rumble.
Am I wrong that they kind of popped for Drew's return last night?
Sounded like they did.
The crowd?
They might have been fake cheers.
They showed a lot of people were up in their chairs for Drew, and I was kind of like, I would have had AJ won. I think the move was AJ last night, you know?
Yeah, it would have been surprising at least.
Because then you could set up AJ Lashley or something. Yeah. That'd be fun, maybe.
It's happened before, I think, right?
Well, whatever. It'd be like a Mania match.
Yeah.
Seth is in a weird spot because Seth won like a couple years back, you know?
Right.
But within the story, Seth winning in that 30 spot, like in the Brock spot, and having Brock retain and just have Seth enter, like, now he won. So it's like they were going to do Roman, Brock to unify, and then Seth is now entering that match, but he's doing it before because he saw the error of his ways. He doesn't need to always be an opportunist, you know? He wants to enter it from the beginning of the match, you know what I mean? And win.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you got a cool story going for you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but they're not thinking about this. They want to make babies laugh, and that's fine.
I think Brock is, Brock's very much in the way of creating their new talent.
I know what they're gonna do.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is what they're gonna do. They're not gonna have Brock choose who he's going for. They're gonna bounce from show to show. He's gonna collect those fucking checks. Yeah. He's gonna fucking give shit to Lashley. He's gonna give shit to Roman, and then fucking 1 week before, they're going to be like, Brock on Monday Night Raw is going to just choose who it is, or both of them, you know?
I kind of hope that they have both titles in the same match, because, you know, think about last Rumble Mania for a second. You had, like, people even forget the Bianca-Sasha match overshadowed everything Rhea Ripley did last year. Mm-hmm. She beat Asuka, remember?
Yep.
Like, no one remembers. Rhea Ripley feels like someone who was never the champion. And it's because there's two titles, and that other match stole the show. And there's really only room for one title match in each division, mentally. Like, no one talks about from WrestleMania 35. We haven't mentioned once that Seth beat Brock to open the show in Giant Stadium, whatever it's called, MetLife. You know? Because there's something about it where it's like, well, the women's main event dominated that. It was the women's, they headlined it. It was all about them, and they earned it, you know?
Right.
So why have all these pointless title matches? I'd rather see something more like what Edge and Miz are doing than just throwing a title shot in something, you know? So I don't know. I'm hoping for that maybe do that. I don't know. Maybe do that triple threat, but then I don't know what you do with Roman. I don't know. Fuck. all the cool matches involve Cody and Moxley going to WWE. Yeah. Right? Like that. That's the reality. The reality right. is like Cody Roman is the match. It's mm-hmm. the match. It's the match. We'd all be pumped. We'd be going to Dallas. No questions. And the Shield match is the match, yeah. right?
I do wish. I wish yeah. that it was like the territory, like that the way the territory days yeah. apparently were, where like the champion would get toured around and would wrestle at other places, yeah. you know? And it was like it was mutually beneficial to have these wrestlers go to different territories and show their faces. You know, it was a big deal when Andre showed up. It was a big deal, you know? So like, why not?
Well, Mickie James entered with the Impact title, which was pretty cool. But
oh, she did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was wearing
it. That's cool.
She was wearing it. That was kind of cool. All right. Two other things that are outside the ring. Did any of you guys watch the Becky interview after with Stone Cold?
No.
I watched the whole thing, I think, pretty close. The one part worth talking about, not to say it's worth watching too, obviously. Becky's an interesting cat. But it's cool to hear her talk to Stone Cold because they kind of have like that similarity of getting over the same way, kind of, you know? Though I kind of forgot that Becky's real big time she got over, and they were breaking down the psychology of that, was at SummerSlam when I was there, and I literally was at the urinal when everybody went nuts is when she turned on Charlotte. And it was because they were giving Charlotte so much opportunity, right? Charlotte weaseled her way into her match against Carmella. For right. the title, and then Charlotte won it, and then Becky was like going to shake her hand and was just like, fuck you, you win everything, and the crowd went yeah. insane for that. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that. That was a very cool moment for Becky. But
be
Becky
fair to Flair
talks about when they had to change titles because they got drafted. Becky went to Raw and Charlotte went to SmackDown, and it was kind of interesting. I was trying to break down if I was getting worked or not, because she was like, yeah, the way it was supposed to go was Charlotte's supposed to hand me the title, and then when she hands me the title, I hold both belts for a second and do like two belts backy, like tease, and then right. I give the title back. And then right. Charlotte comes after me, and I kind of dodge. I roll out of the ring, heel style. Like, I'm not fighting you. You're not worth my time. So right. the segment makes Becky look cool.
Right.
She claims that what Charlotte did was, and if this is what actually happened, and they show the Raw footage, we remember when this happened. This was like a couple months ago. Becky goes for the title. Charlotte throws it on the ground. She's supposed to hand it to her to do two titles. Charlotte throws it on the ground, right. you know, because she's like, I'm not going to like look stupid. And then what makes me believe it is Charlotte throws it on the ground, and then Charlotte picks it back up. And then Sonya takes it from her and gives it to Becky. And right. then Becky throws her title at Charlotte.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
And then the segment's over. It looks very sloppy. It does not look like a produced segment. Too low. Am I getting worked by this thing? Because I'm like, when I walked away from it. When she,
you've been talking about this segment for so long.
No, but I never saw the uncut. They show the uncut. They show it on
Ed. Oh, he's seen all the footage. He's seen the
Here's what I'll say.
The Zapruder film.
A Facebook group to to solve this mystery.
Wait. Yeah, I'm not getting worried by it because then here's the thing. I didn't finish
Flair. Flair and on.
You're acting. But when they cut back to Becky and she's talking about it, that's when I was like, oh, she's not even able to sell this, you know?
Right.
And who cares?
I don't care because no matter what, I'm such a mark that I always kind of go like, yeah, but maybe. Like, I want it so bad that I'm like, but maybe, like, it doesn't look right. You know what I mean? But, like, there's no way Becky and Charlotte aren't fucking friends. I don't even believe that for a second.
Possible.
I know, but I'd have to see it for myself. All right, it's worth seeing that. And then I've watched more of The Peacemaker.
Okay.
And The Peacemaker is
more
legitimately
of the Peacemaker.
Funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I've said this on air. I texted it to you. Yeah, I'm in the cast now. Yeah. So the only gripe I have with that show is that it seems like there are a lot of major plot points that are team member makes deeply stupid mistake for no reason. Like what's his face getting the cops to go to Peacemaker's dad's house.
Right.
What's her face convincing Vigilante to try to kill Peacemaker's dad. Like, these are decisions made by allegedly professional people to do things that would completely destroy the mission. And they're only, and they have no justification. They're like, oh, I didn't even think that it would be that big of a deal.
Right.
And it's just stupid, like below our intelligence, like shit. But John Cena is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's like...
Here's my question.
I had the same beef with that Spider-Man movie that everyone loved, because I was like, oh, this is cool, but it's all based around, like, Doctor Strange, like, impulsively starting a spell before they talk about it.
Right.
Like, that's the whole premise of this, is like, they couldn't have just been like, all right, here's what we're going to do, because I'm about to mess with the space-time continuum. You know what I mean? Like, do you want to talk about the plan here first? He's like, maybe I'll, like, he's like a, like... indecisive order or like a pizza place. Like, do I want pepperoni? I said it wasn't going meat, but like, you know what I mean? And you're like, that's the whole premise of the movie. Like, the whole foundation of this movie is a spell started impulsively by a genius. Now, that being said, it still was like a fun movie. It was a good time or whatever. I mean, for me, very forgettable. But yeah, Peacemaker is a little bit like that, but it's such comedy. It's so much of a comedy that I'm fine with it. Like, that scene, there was a scene that was legit making me LOL, when like he had to like tie the couple up and the woman wants to bang him.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, what the fuck? You've never mentioned Cinderella in the 7 years we've been together. Like, that scene was so fucking funny. She's like, this fucking hot Jack guy comes in here and you want to fuck him.
When the cops take the gag off the guy's mouth, his first words are, my wife is an asshole.
Yeah. And then she's like, I like your negligee. Yeah, well, he says I look fat. I didn't say you look fat in it. I just said you have better items. That scene was fucking funny. You know?
Yeah. I do think, though, I think this is going to be humongous for John Cena's
Do you think he gets an Emmy nod? I think he gets an Emmy nod.
You think so?
No? At least, I'll see the rest of the season. But yeah.
He's very fucking funny in it. He's very funny. They have a great gag. It's true comedy. He's like, you know, he keeps like getting hurt constantly. You know? Yeah. Like, he's so, I'm on the second episode, he's like bleeding everywhere already, you know?
Yeah.
It's very fun. And they brought back T-1000. They brought T-1000 to play his dad. Or is T-1000 what Terminator
is? No, he has a T-800, I think. He's a T-1000.
T-1000 is the guy who is T-1000.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you are labeled T-1000 for your entire career.
The rest of your life.
Because when you play a part where face
iconic.
Is part of a robot, you have an iconic face robot.
Yeah.
His face to me is more iconic than Schwarzenegger. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that character in that movie is so fucking
Star of the
scary.
Marine,
and
this
is
Cena and him's second movie together, by the way.
Oh, really?
He's in the Marine. He plays the bad guy in the first Marine movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Holy shit.
I just put that
same
together.
Character.
I interrupted because I was so excited.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Those guys are like, oh, man. You're like, hey, good to see you again. You know?
2002's The Marine.
It's crazy when you're like, oh, they got his dad's being played by T-1000.
And introducing T-1000 as.
What if that's got to be such an interesting life, right? You know, I mean, I've seen that for a little bit of my friends who've been had things where they're defined by that, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's what people refer to you as. But like. Even, like, Byer says, like, she can't go anywhere without people just going, like, nailed it, you know? You know? But, like, it's still not the same as being, like, oh, well, you've removed their actual Christian name.
Right.
And you're, like, give them a robot number. Yeah. Like, this is, that's T-1000. Yeah, fucking T. If you imagine if we saw him out, I'd be like, yo, check it out. There's T-1000 over there.
Hey,
like,
what up, T?
Yo, T-1000. And then he's like, anyway, I would kill them in an iconic role like that. I love people call me T. I'd be the guy who's like, always, I would walk around and just like, you'd see me. And then I'd be like, yo, get the camera out. And then I'd run at you. And you'd be like, yo, T-1000 is the man. I'd be the Bill Murray of being T-1000. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Everywhere. to the point where it's like exhausting for other people.
Yeah, people are like, yo, you don't want to like, don't meet your hero.
Picture. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't we just wanted it. The picture. You didn't have to reenact the whole scene. We didn't ask.
Yeah, and then I'm like, yo, listen, hold this milk cart and hold it up to your face. I'm going to stab you in the face with my I got a bionic like metal arm. Yeah. We're going to recreate that scene. And you send it to your mom so she think you got killed by the T-1000. He's like, bro, I just wanted a picture. Like, you know what I mean?
The
I'm gonna run after your car. Where's your car? Where are you parked? All right. So we're gonna do a video, a selfie video. I'm gonna run after your car.
You're like
post
the guy.
The Instagram.
Yeah.
Post the Instagram. Tag me at T1000. Yeah. That's still me. It's perfect. And then make sure you use the hashtag got killed by T1000, man.
The it's like the same energy as like the guy who like tries to wash your car windshield at the red light,
but
it's like no
1000,
no thank you,
yeah,
no thank you. I'm gonna run after your car when you pull through this red light. No, please don't do that.
Yeah. But this will always, I'll say, all right, we'll get out of here, but the last thing I'll say is like I do recommend watching wrestling like big events with someone who's not a huge mark. They really do bring a fucking energy of where they. It's so fun when someone goes, because I haven't done it in a while. Like, it's so fun when someone goes, like, whoa, it's a lot of fucking people there. And you realize, you reminds you, like, that wrestling is insane. Like, it's helpful when someone reminds. And then, like, Roman comes in, he's wearing a lay, you know, like the Samoan red lay or whatever. I don't know what I'm probably being.
It's a lay, I think.
It is, right? Yeah. And then you're like, yeah, well, he's – and then you're just like – it's fun to just say to someone like, yeah, well, because he's the tribal chief, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that? Yeah. Well, no, because he's, you know, he's a Samoan heritage and there's like a long lineage of Samoan wrestlers and he's kind of like the best one. And in reality, he is. You know, like he is the best one, which is – so it is – it's shoot, it's work. No, shoot means like real. Work means like scripted, but when you have both, it's the best. You know, like it's like for example, like you know when you hate with someone.
Hey, where are you going? Like,
and then like, look, you find that quickly they zone out. Yeah. But even for that brief second where you just you're doing it for you. The whole time it's for you. And you're reminded. I was describing to Christine yesterday, like, why Becky's so famous. I was like, well, she got punched in the face for real, and she just, like, handled it in a way that, like, everyone was in awe of. She looked so cool. And you can't plan these moments. It's why screaming, I like wrestling more than sports. Like
screaming, this is my house, with a bloody nose. And
right.
Like, yeah.
Because it's like, it was on the day, that I was describing that, and I was like, it was the day Tom Brady retired. You know, or whatever. He might be kayfabe retiring, though, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think it's kayfabe, right?
Yeah, it's kayfabe. You know,
he doesn't feel done. No. He's going to be done. Tom Brady's going to get, like, very injured on the field and then be done, I think. But what do I know? But I think it's because there's a lot of money to be made to be like, I'm going to do one more season, right? Because of the wrestling of it, right?
And what is this, like the 2% of the podcast where we talk about sports?
This is the 2%. Yeah, there's 72% wrestling, 26% Peacemaker, and then 2% is Tom Brady. And so Tom Brady, I just dig because he's just undeniably good. I don't know anything about him. And he's got hair plugs. But so I think like he's retiring. And I was like, why is he good? It's like, oh, because he's got all these rings. It's essentially my joke. But when you're describing Becky, I'm describing that. And then I'm like, 316, get these hands, like these moments. You're like, that's what I like about wrestling. Anyway. It's fun to do that every once in a while. If you watch with marks, you end up having marky conversation. It's nice. It's nice to explain it. Anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, fuck, man. I don't give a shit. The Rumble is what it is. Just be grateful that we don't live in a time where the Rumble sucked and there's no other wrestling to watch. Because, boy, oh, boy, we're going into Wednesday this week, and we had last week Mox walking by Daniel Bryan. Right? Well, that was two weeks ago at this point already.
No, like Brian Daniels,
was that last week? Brian Daniels, we're going to get irrelevant. Like, that is like, we have like real exciting shit to look forward to, you know, over there.
It happened on Rampage. So it was a week and a half.
Oh, right. That happened on Rampage. Sorry. That was on Friday. Right? Yeah. So that was fucking.
It was
on Friday before that. I didn't watch Rampage this week.
Neither did I. Because
I was going to watch it on Saturday, but I was watching the Rumble.
It was good.
Was it good?
Yeah,
exciting shit going on in wrestling. The economy's good. Shout out, before we go, one last thing. Shout out to fucking Matt Cardona. Shout out to Matt Cardona, who is tearing up wrestling from a pure place of passion and creativity. You know?
Shout out to Matt Cardona for watching SummerSlam Tacular and biting all of our bits. Shout out to him for that.
Yeah, that's true.
The cup spot, Orange Cassidy cup spot. All right, we get it, guys. Everybody, cup spot with tax on it. I mean, just take both the. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, Matt Cardona, I'll probably be in Dallas. If you just want to come and admit it to us, we can just handle this. Like,
I have access to Cardona.
When we settle things in the ring, we settle them in the ring.
If not, we do it in the ring.
Here at Calmania, we do it on a stage. Very hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Has anyone listened to... This is another random thing. Has anyone listened to Kim Orton and whatever, Olivia Engel, let's say what her name is, Kurt Angle's wife's podcast?
No.
They have a podcast called, like, Wrestling Wives. I don't know if it's brand new. Anyway.
Do you listen to it?
No, I just saw it. I was scrolling and saw it. It might be new or it might not even be out yet. I don't know. But all right, let's give them a free plug. Kim Orton and Susan Engel... I have a podcast coming out. It's called The Sex Lives of Wrestling. What's that? The Sex Lives of College Girl?
Yeah.
What's it? Yeah, anyway. Whatever.
That's a good show, too.
That is a good show. Shout out to my friend Beth Pell, writer on the show, folks.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Everybody, keep watching wrestling! Kisses. Cheers up.